Okay, good afternoon, and we're about to start, to pick up actually where we left off Friday in a study about which gospel was preached by whom, to whom, and at what time. Let's review. We'll look to start with in Galatians 1:6. And if that opening statement is abhorrent to you, please hang on to your seat and we'll look at some scriptures that it was based on. Galatians 1:6-8, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. Well, there's the grace of God gospel and another one mentioned there, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, there's an angel from heaven preaching another gospel, unto you, preach it unto you, you Galatians that Paul had preached to, in other words, not in general to everybody in the world, but to you in Galatia that Paul had preached to, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed or cut off from you. In other words, Paul is teaching them not to just believe every word of man that comes along, you know, that he had received the revelation. This is part two. I'm reviewing a little bit from part one, but Paul had received the revelation from Christ directly after Christ had gone back to heaven. It's Christ's latest word to us. It's what he said. He's not changing what he said. He's adding, you know, what he said before. We've reviewed this before. He was sent to his own, to his people, to Israel. He said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when he sent out his apostles, he said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And he said, go ye not into the way of the Gentiles. We were left out at that point. But then Christ, after he went to heaven, starting in Acts 9, you can read about it, revealed to Paul, unforgivable Paul. Paul had blasphemed the Holy Ghost there in Acts 7 at the end, in the last 10 verses. But so he was unforgivable in Israel's doctrine. But the Lord, according to 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, started a new pattern by which unforgivable people like Paul, the chief of sinners, could be saved. He didn't come to God as a law keeper, as a Jew keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, etc. He came as a sinner deserving hell and death, and he was saved on that basis by the grace of God, and that was a new thing. It says right in the text it was a pattern. He was the first, it says. So in those three verses there in Galatians 1 that we looked at, verses 6, 7, and 8, in those verses alone there are three gospels, totally different messages. It doesn't define them, but it names them. It points to them. And notice that Paul says the gospel that we preached unto you. Well, what gospel did Paul preach to the Galatians? He preached not just the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is, but he preached the gospel of Christ, good news from Christ, that you can be saved by believing that Christ died for your sins, not just forgave your sins, not just, you know, in the future will blot them out when he comes back, like Israel was promised, but God actually died for your sins. You are saved, not are waiting to be saved at the return of Christ, as Israel is. So, he says that they are being removed to another gospel. Well, what is that other gospel? Well, it turns out to be the gospel that Peter preached. Sins blotted out at that second coming of Christ. Acts 3:19 and 20. That their sins would be blotted out when Christ returns. And that's not the same as Christ died for your sins and was raised for your justification. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, it says you are saved. That's a current thing. That's a present tense fact. Once you believe, you are saved. You're not waiting to be saved at the second coming, as Israel and their doctrine were taught. And it will occur when the Lord returns and a fountain is opened up for sins in Jerusalem and in Judea. But do you see anything else there? What about any other gospel? What about that angel from heaven it talks about, preaching any other gospel? Look at Delta, am I in the wrong spot here or something? I just got to thinking about that note you sent me. We're in sync, aren't we? We're in synchronization here, right? Anyway, I'll go ahead with this. But that angel preaching another gospel, look in Revelation. Well, he's got it posted there, so I guess we're in sync. Revelation 14, 6 and 7. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying, now here's the gospel. When they preach this gospel, the angel in the midst of heaven, here's what he says. Here's the gospel. Fear God. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. So the Lord is being gracious now, but there will come a time when the good news is that God will be vindicated and his justice will be swiftly, you know, accomplished. God's wrath will occur on those that have refused to believe the gospel that he gave to Paul to dispense to us. So, but you can see that's not the gospel that Paul preached. He didn't preach a gospel of judgment. Christ was judged in our behalf. He preached that God made him to be sin for us. Now, there's no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. Get in Christ Jesus. That's the thing to do. Believe the gospel. It's also not the gospel that Peter preached. Men of Israel, repent that your sins may be blotted out when Christ comes again. That's Acts 3, 19 and 20 again. So in Galatians chapter 1 alone, you can see three gospels. The gospel that Paul preached, that's the legitimate gospel, the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ. Then secondly, you can see the gospel that Peter preached, which they were getting mixed up. They were trying to mix together, and he's saying, no, you're confusing yourselves. Just believe the gospel that I preached unto you. It's different. And the third one would be the gospel that the angel preached in the future when the destruction occurs. So, just a reminder that this Bible study has been put together by Jim Bracken, and we're thankful for him for doing that. We're going by his outline. There is a fourth gospel in the book of Galatians that's mentioned. If we can go ahead, let's see, doesn't gospel mean good news? How is it good news? How is what the angel said, it isn't very good news? It is good news for the vindication of God. It means that God has conquered all that Satan tried to overcome him with. God won the war. That's the good thing. So good that he is wiping away evil. I guess you could consider that part of it. Yeah, that he is has overcome Satan that challenged him and said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt myself. And he went about to deceive you and me and everybody else in the world throughout all these ages. Once we get past this veil that's over us, we get in, you know, past death, and we see the reality of things, it'll be good news that evil is destroyed. Yeah. Okay, look in Galatians 3, verse 8, for this fourth gospel that's mentioned in Galatians. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now, that's not talking about us, it's talking about different heathen, because this is in Genesis 12, verse 3, that this is mentioned. So this is before Christ and his revelation to Paul that all people can be saved. This is when God was still dealing with mankind through the nation of Israel. And those that would bless Israel were blessed of God. But, you know, not everybody did. But anyway, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel before unto Abraham. And here's the gospel: in thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, you can tell that's not the same as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's a different gospel. In thee shall all nations be blessed, Abraham. So it was good news for him, but it wasn't a saving gospel that saves us. So the gospel to Abraham was that through him, that is through his seed, that all nations would be blessed. And once again, just because you see the word gospel in the Bible, it doesn't mean that all gospels are the same gospel. Like we said before, that's a terrible blunder by the religious system today. One of the worst mistakes they ever made. Now, let's take the gospels in the order they appear in the Bible. We have already looked at the everlasting gospel in the book of Revelation. It's about the judgment of God, and it's preached by an angel from heaven. No man ever preaches that gospel. It's preached by the angel in the midst of heaven. It's only in the book of Revelation there. So I think it's pretty clear that that message is not the message for today. But in Matthew is the first time we see the phrase, the gospel of the kingdom. So let's look at that. Yeah, there it is, Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. They were to be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. As you read in the law, no priest could have any deformity or sickness or anything less than a perfect human body. So, even if you had a flat nose, it mentions a lot of the things that a person would be ruled out from having, from being a priest. And so anyway, Jesus came healing all these people so they could be a kingdom of priests, as many as would believe. But as we know, he was rejected. The kingdom was rejected, and the king. Let's look in Matthew 9:35 now about the gospels. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Amen? Believe it. Every sickness and every disease. So look on to Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So that's talking about at the end of the age, really, when Christ returns. Just before he returns, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached again. It was preached. They rejected it. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost and committed the unforgivable sin. They were cut off, as it says in Hosea 1:9, would happen, that they would not be God's people and he would not be their God. And in the meantime, in fact, almost immediately afterwards, after that happened in Acts 7, in Acts 9, it says, and Saul, you know, he was standing there stoning Stephen. It says that Saul, still breathing forth threatenings, this is Acts 9:1. But anyway, he went and got letters to go to from the high priest to go to Damascus to round up all that believed, like Peter, James, John, believed that the gospel of the kingdom, and bring them back. We're getting off the topic, though. That comes later, when God supplied a different way other than Israel for people to be saved. We don't have to go through Israel. We don't have to bless Israel. As we saw before Paul, people that weren't Jews did have to bless Israel to get in on the covenants of promise. So, what is the gospel of the kingdom? It's the good news that the nation of Israel was promised this kingdom from heaven on earth, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus Christ has come on the scene, and the good news that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the good news now, or not now, excuse me, at that time when Jesus came preaching it, after John the Baptist had preached it. Now in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, we see that now after John the Baptist, John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, what did he preach? What did he say when he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God? And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the gospel. The time is fulfilled. What you've been waiting for is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's within grasp. I shouldn't say it's here. It was within grasp, okay? It was at hand. And he goes on and he says, repent ye. In other words, you've been in apostasy. You've served other gods, Baal and Ashtoreth and all these other gods. You've gone astray. Believe the gospel that the kingdom is here. You know, repent from your... Repent doesn't mean what we take it to mean today. If you take the Bible meaning, it means to change your mind. To turn around in your thinking. And so they had to stop their apostasy. They had to change their mind about who their God was. And, you know, quit the idolatry, quit the iniquity, the religious going away from God. So Jesus Christ preached, and he sent the 12 apostles out to preach the message of the kingdom. And we can see what he told them to go out and preach in Matthew 10. Verses 5, 6, and so forth following that. Matthew 10:5 says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Again, we're left out. We weren't included in that gospel. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, you know, it was there waiting their response. And we know what they responded with nails in his hands as they crucified him. The message of the kingdom continues through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the nation of Israel rejects both their king and the kingdom. And Christ is crucified, buried, and he's raised again the third day from the dead. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter begins to preach this message. It's the same message that Paul identifies in Romans chapter 1 as the gospel of God. It's the facts about who Jesus is. It's not a saving gospel, but it does define who Jesus is, so that once you understand who he is, you can understand what he's done for you, the gospel that does save you. So, but this gospel of God, it doesn't say anything about it saving you here. Let's refresh our memory for just a second. Romans 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised, God had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the gospel of God is, in the Scriptures. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, came descended from David according to the flesh, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So concerning his son, he's the Son of God, and he is risen from the dead, the resurrected Messiah, in other words, the one sent by God. He's the Christ, the Lord. So it's these facts about Jesus and who he is, that's the gospel of God, that Jesus is the risen Messiah. So Paul identifies this message, or this information about Jesus, shown in these four verses. He calls it the gospel of God. It's the testimony of God about his Son, Jesus Christ. It was testified by the prophets in the scriptures. They knew that he was going to come. He was going to be a Messiah, a sent one, anointed for what was to go on in the kingdom, to be the king in the kingdom, and that he was to die. You've got Isaiah 53, and that he was to rise again, as David said in the Psalms. Let's look what Peter preached. When Peter preached the gospel of God, the facts about Jesus, same, you know, when somebody asks, did Peter and Paul preach the same gospel? Well, they both preached the gospel of God. They both agreed who Jesus was, that he was the Messiah, that he was risen from the dead. There's no controversy about that. Both churches, both the church of Matthew 16 that Christ said he would build, and the church, the body of Christ, which we're told in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 15, that each member builds. Each member builds. See how you build it. Both of those churches are on the foundation, the same foundation of Jesus Christ, but it's like a huge foundation, a huge slab, that one end of it has the Matthew 16 church built on it, and the other end of it has the church, the body of Christ, built on it. They're different churches. Let's go through what Peter preached. Look in Acts 2:22 we'll start at, and we'll go through about 27. Just a moment, please. Hold on, please. Welcome, Moses 8 and Barry. Good to see you all here. We were going to pick up at Acts 2, verse 22, and read through 27 about what Peter preached, and that he did preach the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is. Verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs and wonders." You want to know what miracles and signs and wonders are for? God approved Jesus by miracles and signs and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. So there you've got Jesus, you've got that this Jesus of Nazareth was approved of God, that he died, that he was slain, crucified, and in verse 24, whom God raised up. You've got the resurrection, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope." My flesh shall rest in hope. Because, in other words, he knows there's a future after he dies, after he rests in peace. Acts 2:27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Now, if I stop there and don't go any further, what do I have? I have the same information that Paul identified in Romans chapter 1 as the gospel of God. It's the testimony from scriptures. And here Peter is quoting in the book of Psalms quoting David, and David was a prophet, referring to David's prophecy, and in other words, what God promised before in the Holy Scriptures, as it's written. But Peter doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 29, let's read, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." In other words, he didn't rise. Verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." So when Peter says those last four words, "sit on his throne," what do we have? Well, we're back to kingdom information. A throne is the rulership of a kingdom. In other words, Jesus of Nazareth is the heir to the throne of David, the king of Israel. He's the heir, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is the prophesied one. For let's go on to verse 34, Acts 2:34. "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Verse 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So, as Peter preaches to a town full of devout Jews, he's telling them that they have murdered their Messiah. They've gone the wrong way, in other words. You know, what they had hoped for all their life, this coming kingdom and the Messiah, they actually put him to death and denied it. Denied the kingdom that would have been, you know, activated or brought in at that time. But God hath raised him from the dead. So the prophets prophesied of this. And these people that murdered the Messiah, need to repent, need to change their mind about what they did. They need to realize that this is the Messiah, was, and that he's risen from the dead. They need to identify with their Messiah in water baptism. That's what was preached. That's a kingdom ritual. And they need to look for the day when Christ will come again, sit on the throne of David, and rule over Israel and over all the earth. But he has first preached what? What did he preach? He preached the gospel of God. In other words, he first identified the Son of God and the fact that he was proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Okay. 1 Peter 4:17, Peter preaches the gospel of God here. Look what he says. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that believe not the gospel of God?" And Paul preaches a very similar message to a bunch of ignorant idolaters in Athens in Acts 17, the gospel of God. Not a saving gospel. He wasn't sent yet in Acts 17 to preach the gospel of salvation to all people. He was still being sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, according to Acts 13, verses 26 and 46. So in Acts 17:30, we see Paul preaching, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Change your mind, in other words. Verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." You only find the phrase "the kingdom," the gospel of the kingdom, in those four gospels, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What Jesus came as a minister of the circumcision and came walking the roads of Galilee and Judea and preaching. Peter is preaching basically the same information you find in the gospel of the kingdom, but it's not called that. Peter's message is called the gospel of the circumcision, not the gospel of the kingdom. And why? It's after the kingdom was rejected. So they're not offering the kingdom anymore. Look in Galatians 2, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, this is Galatians, Paul is speaking, and the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Paul, But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul, and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So you've got the two different gospels, and basically the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the circumcision, I shouldn't say two different gospels, at this point he's talking, Paul is talking about the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision, and we're talking about the difference between the gospel of the circumcision, Israel's gospel, and the gospel of the kingdom, which came earlier before Israel rejected their kingdom. So after they rejected it, that gospel is called the gospel of the circumcision. Now, there's no date involved in that one. In Acts, Peter never says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He says, repent, and you're talking about in Acts now, after they rejected, after they crucified their king and sent him away, killed him. He says, Peter says, repent, and your sins will be blotted out when Christ comes again. That's at a later time. That's not at that time. Remember that in Acts chapter 1, they had asked the Lord if he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time. And he told them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. So the gospel of the circumcision is basically the same message of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel of the kingdom, but it's without a date. It's not saying it's at hand. You know, it's within grasp. In your lifetime, you can have it if you receive it. So you see that the gospel of God is something that came after the gospel of the kingdom, because the gospel of God includes the resurrection of Christ. He is the risen Messiah, the gospel of God. And the gospel of the kingdom was before he was crucified, while he was still offering the kingdom. Then after he was crucified, it's the gospel of the circumcision offered to Israel until they fell as a nation by blaspheming the Holy Ghost in stoning Stephen in Acts 7. The gospel of the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in that gospel, they didn't know anything at all about the death of Christ. You know, during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was a surprise to them. They rejected the idea that Christ would die, would be crucified, raised from the dead. They until Christ began appearing to them after his resurrection, none of them believed that he was going to be resurrected. Except possibly those two disciples on the Emmaus Road who gave that statement that, and now here it is the third day after he's been crucified. You know, it sounds like they might have been understanding that he had said 3 days after he's crucified he would rise again, and they were looking for him, and they got to see him on the road to Emmaus. Those two disciples there on the road. But anyway, let's go on. Peter's message is called the gospel of the circumcision, and it's related to the kingdom and the king ruling and reigning on the throne of David at some future time. It's going to happen, yes. Even though they rejected their king, there will come a time he will gather them and put it in their heart to mourn for whom they have pierced. They will see him coming. And there will be mourning involved in that second coming of Christ. That's why one of the reasons we know that the catching up of the body of Christ is a different event, because it says comfort yourselves, comfort one another with these facts, that we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before he comes back to come to the earth and split the Mount of Olives wide apart, and clean up, you know, all the battles against Israel he's going to take control of. But Paul never mentions the throne of David. That was Peter that mentioned it, the throne of David, and Christ ruling on earth from the throne of David. That's not Paul that ever mentions that. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, 7 and 8. Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Just a moment, please. Okay, sorry about that. 2 Timothy 2, 7. Consider what I say. Okay, that's the first thing. Consider what Paul says. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And 2 Timothy 2, 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. And why? How? According to my gospel. Not according to... Well, he doesn't say according to our gospel. He doesn't say according to the gospel. He makes the distinction between the two messages. There is a division to be made. And that distinction is made clear and unmistakable when the Lord sends Paul by revelation to communicate to the men in Jerusalem. And he says, look at Galatians 2:2. And I went up by revelation. The Lord had sent him and had revealed it to him that he go up. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul had no intention of running in vain by getting in any kind of a power struggle with Peter or James or John. They just weren't in competition. They were two different entities. The body of Christ was separate from and different from Israel and that little flock there, the Israel of God in Jerusalem, the Church of God in Jerusalem. Paul knew that he had no authority in the church which was at Jerusalem, and Paul knew that the 12 had no authority in the body of Christ. So Paul says that he communicated unto them that gospel which I preach. But yet we see where both Peter and Paul preach what Paul refers to as the gospel of God. It's foundational. It's who Jesus is. So it's, you know, told to people that don't know who Jesus is. So they need to know before they can know what he did for them. It shows the scriptural facts, and it shows that scripture is trustworthy because God promised it in the scriptures. It identifies the Savior and proves that prophecy in scripture is correct and can be trusted. But we need to not read into prophecy things that we already know from the New Testament or Paul's writings. Remember not to read back into those prophecies things that they didn't know. You need to define in your mind, you know, what did they know when this was told them? And what does it actually say? Does it say there is a Savior coming, his name is Jesus Christ, who will die for everybody's sin? They didn't know anything like that back then. So, the gospel does prove that there is such a thing in the scriptures as the resurrection from the dead, because Christ has been proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection. Christ rose, we can look forward to being raised from the dead. So it's truth that anybody must clearly understand before they can trust or believe in, you know, any further information. In other words, if you don't know who God is, how can you understand who Christ is or what he, Christ, has done for you? or is going to do. Christ died for your sins and my sins, and that accomplished the task of salvation. It was written that Abraham had faith in God, and that faith was counted to him for righteousness. But it wasn't only written for Abraham, it was written for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Our triune God raised up Christ from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses. He died for our sins. And he was raised again for our justification. Believe it. Believe that it was your sins he died for, that your sins are died for already. Your penalty is paid. You don't have to pay it. And belief is what applies it to you, believing that. So I'm done for now, and we'll pick it up again next time we study this.